Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. These are all times when family and friends often get together and share a wonderful meal. During times like that, all seems right with the world. You're eating a wonderful meal with people you love and who love you in return. You feel accepted. You feel part of a family. When Jesus was an adult, I'm sure he remembered the traditional Passover meal that he celebrated with his family when he was a young child. He could remember how they ate the Passover meal together at home. He remembered the roasted lamb. He remembered the unleavened bread, the wine, the caraces sauce, and even the bitter herbs made from horseradish roots. During that Passover meal, they felt close to each other and especially close to God. When the Jews of Jesus' day celebrated the Passover, they remembered that very first Passover meal when God said the following to their ancestors. Listen to these words of Scripture. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. You see, God promised the Israelites that just as Abraham, their father, was chosen by him, they too had been chosen to be his special people. However, while the people of Israel were eating that first Passover, they could not help but wonder if it were all too good to be true. You see, they remembered that they had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. Imagine that. This nation isn't even 400 years old. That's how long they were slaves in Egypt, waiting for God to redeem them. They couldn't help but wonder, were they really God's special people? I mean, they were so used to being slaves, they felt like worthless objects. After being enslaved for 400 years, during that time, they wondered if God had forgotten them or maybe if God even existed. I mean, think about it. God makes a promise, but then you wait. And you wait. A century passes. 2 centuries pass. 3 centuries pass. A 4th century passes. You'd begin to wonder, is God going to keep his promise? Or maybe God himself is a myth. But on that night of the first Passover, God overcame their doubts and their fears. God was essentially saying to them, tonight you will see that you are my special people. I will keep my promise. I will rescue you from your slavery. So eat the Passover tonight and never ever forget the blood of the Lamb. That night God kept his promise. Oh, they had to wait 400 years, but God kept his promise. Even though God killed every firstborn in every Egyptian home, he spared every Israelite home that was marked by the blood of the Lamb. That night, God made the Israelites his family. He told them as one people to leave their slave masters. And so together, as a family, they hurried out of Egypt. Together as a family, they crossed the Red Sea. Together as a family, they received God's law at Mount Sinai. His word that would show them how they would now get to live as his forgiven and dearly loved people. Together as a family, they journeyed through the desert. And while they journeyed through that desert, God guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and by a pillar of fire at night. Every year after that, God encouraged his people to celebrate the Passover and thereby remember how God had kept his promise to rescue them from slavery. He wanted them to remember that even though it took 400 years, God kept his promise. They needed to remember that. You see, centuries after the Exodus, whenever the Israelites would eat the Passover, they would remember the past and realize that God did indeed keep his promise, even though it took many years. But you see, there was more to the Passover than merely remembering the past. God also wanted them to look ahead to the future, because the Passover also reminded them that God also made a promise to save them from the real slavery of sin and death through the promised Lamb of God, the Messiah, his only Son. And just as they had to wait hundreds of years in the past before God kept his promise, they would have to wait even longer before he kept the promise to send the Messiah into the world. And now here we are, almost 2,000 years after the Messiah actually came. Here we are. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus and his disciples were gathered in an upper room, and they were celebrating the Passover, the same Passover that the Jews had celebrated for centuries. Jesus was there. God had kept his promise. Even though it had taken hundreds of years, the Son of God was finally born of the Virgin Mary. And there he was almost 2,000 years ago, celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. Judas would betray him. Peter would deny him. The rest of the disciples would forsake him and run away in fear. You see, those disciples were sinners. To the man, they were sinners. But on that night, while they were eating the Passover, the disciples felt so close, they felt so united, so safe with Jesus. But only a few hours later, as they watched their Lord being led out to be crucified, they didn't feel safe or accepted at all. They were thinking, God has abandoned us. And we're nothing but a bunch of traitors and deniers and forsakers. How can we be part of God's people? How can God continue to accept the likes of us? Well, that night during the Passover meal, Jesus looked around the room, and even though he knew what would all soon take place, even though he knew about the one who would betray him and the one who would deny him and the rest who would forsake him, even though he knew all of this, he looked at each one of them with eyes of love and forgiveness. In fact, during that special Passover meal, Jesus said something that had never been done or said at any Passover meal before. He said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." You see, by saying that, he was giving them a sign that God was about to keep his promise. Remember the first Passover meal? After that first Passover, God swept into action. He rescued them from their physical slavery in Egypt. But hundreds of years later, during that ultimate Passover meal with Jesus, after that meal, God also swept into action and he kept his promise by rescuing his people from the even greater spiritual slavery of sin and death and the devil. You see, after that Passover that took place 2,000 years ago, the Father placed his one and only Son into the hands of cruel sinners. On that night, Jesus was betrayed and arrested. And the next day, his disciples saw their Lord nailed to a cross, and they watched him shed his blood for their sin, for your sin, for my sin, for all sinners. But here's the amazing thing. The night before, they ate his body and drank his blood in the bread and wine blessed by his words. And my friends, we receive the same miraculous gift tonight. I want you to listen again to these words from our first reading. Listen closely. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, because we all partake of the one loaf. You see, my friends, the Lord's Supper is not only about us being united with God, it's also about us being united with each other. Just as God forgives and loves and accepts us in this meal, he thereby moves us to forgive and love and accept each other as we receive Christ's body and blood together. My friends, like the disciples, we're guilty. We have betrayed, denied, and forsaken God more times than we can possibly imagine. In fact, when we come to grips with our sin, we might wonder if God still loves us and even wants to accept us. Well, tonight, you get to partake God's meal of acceptance. Tonight, you get to eat Jesus' body given for you and drink his blood shed for you, which means you are forgiven. You are accepted. You are part of God's family. Every time we Christians eat and drink Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, we remember the past. We remember that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for us. However, when we eat this meal, we do not merely remember the past. You see, we also remember the future. Because when we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, we eat and drink the body and blood of the living Son of God, who is risen and ascended. And that means he will come again, just as he promised. I know we've been waiting a long time, as God's people in the past had to wait a long time, but God has kept his promise every single time, and he will keep his promise to return again. So the Lord's Supper is something that allows us to remember the past and the future. As we receive the living body and blood of Christ right now in the present, we remember his death in the past and we look forward to his coming in the future. As you come to this holy meal tonight, the fulfillment of the Passover, you come in repentant faith, confessing your sins and knowing they are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. You come to this meal of acceptance tonight, knowing that God forgives you and loves you and accepts you. And as you come to this meal, remember that the God who forgives you and loves you and accepts you also sets you free to forgive and love and accept one another. Because you are a family in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.